podcast, home to stories that haunt. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence or explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
There's eyes in my insulation. I've tried to distract myself from accepting it, but the chandelier over the table swayed a little quicker than usual. Something moved up there as Christine scrubbed sauce off the plate she cleared. My eyes can't meet hers when she asks, "Alex, are you going to Griffin's tonight?" No, she shot me a look. Who's going to teach those pool balls a lesson? I have to finish rearranging the attic. Another one of your projects? She wore a sneer, the kind checkered with a quiet sympathy for the ill. It was the same look she gave her unemployed brother when he said he was working on something big. Another underground hip-hop track with 5 plays. Steam rose from the sink. Something like that, I said. She sighed. There aren't many wives disappointed that their husband isn't going out. You said the same thing last week. The garage needed to be done. You know that, I cut in. I catch a smile in the corner of my eye as she turns back to the sink. She scrubs. I just worry about you. It's important to get out, you know? You have your whole workday to sit here. And Christine, please. The scrubs get harder. My spine curls up. I don't dream of telling her what had happened this afternoon. I have no plans spending the night in a nut house. My mind knocks on these thoughts, expecting an answer, yet remains confounded. Earlier, while waiting for the client to call me with the details of their photo shoot, I decided to go rummaging through the attic. I needed a replacement bulb. The attic is a decent size. I've thought about creating a dark room up there, but Christine likes having a garage to park in, and I have trouble parting with everything anyone had heart to give me. You can stand on your feet with room to spare above your head, only ducking beneath support beams in the corners where the slant of the roof meets the floor. Moving aside ancient, discolored poster frames bearing Harrison Ford and moving boxes in pursuit of a bulb with intact lumens, I noticed a hole in the pink cotton hanging above. The smell hit first. A paper rot. The stench of all the corpses of papier-mâché projects stuck in development hell. Putrefied. As one mass wafted from the hole in the insulation. I thought something had died trying to claw its way through, which explained it in a way that satisfied my mind. I stacked 2 boxes up and balanced myself at the top, shining my flashlight over the surfaces of the beam pieces of insulation had reached. Nothing but a film of dust. The sound came next. I rose the light to the ceiling, watching the fluff rustle, emanating from a single point like a circular wave. Bugs, Alex. It's just bugs. Something died up there. My shoulders twitched. So precise, it was almost solid, scraping my ear canals. I steadied myself on the beam. The wood grain expanded, then shrunk like it was breathing. The beams behind me groaned, doing the same. The whole house breathed down my neck. The beam scratched my palm as it transformed. The hole above expanded as 2 clumps of pink cotton moved to reveal deep-set eyes, all white, save for a black dot in the center. The insulation stretched forward. The outline of a nose appeared where the mouth should be, My heart shrunk and my face burned, a splinter stuck in my hand. The jolt sent my world into a tailspin. The boxes tumbled, sending me to the floor. The batteries flew from my flashlight. I scrambled to the hatch, ignoring the pangs from my hand as I scuttled down the wooden rungs of the ladder. The faucet stops, pulling me back to the table. The timing was so eerie, part of me thought she heard it. How long has she been scrubbing two plates? She walked over. I'll be in bed reading tonight. Okay. She kissed my forehead, then embraced me. I laid my head on her hip. What's going on, Alex? I'm just stressed, I said. Not many clients. Just wait. Senior pictures around the corner. Yeah. She brushes my hair back, then goes up the stairs. I can't break my stare with the table. Part of me wondered if she'd taken so long scrubbing because she was lost in a memory too. Maybe of a time when I could strike up a conversation instead of watching invisible paint dry. For the first time in my life, I was envious of ignorance. I stood in the upstairs hallway, staring at the ladder, like a little boy scared to dash to the bathroom at midnight. I remembered being that little boy, scared of the hazards that lurked after 8 p.m. when my father decided to send me to bed. Bundles of clothes mistook for an ocean of faces. The crack in the closet door where some inexhaustible beast waited. The ducts that groaned my name as the air conditioner stopped blowing. All lurking in the crevices of my mind with logical explanations. The brain's pattern recognition. What I saw, though, had no logic. It didn't happen at night. Even if it had happened in the dark, I watched the insulation move. Sure, you can make faces from it like in clouds, but there's an air of unreality when you do that. You see it with something else, something that wasn't your eyes. This had been clear as day. And that sound. Christ, that sound. I wasn't just recalling it. The vacant mouth that gaped above coughed that sound at me like a taunt, conjuring goose flesh. The bottom rung of the ladder squealed as I placed my foot in it. Fingers touched my waist. I spun, gasping. Alex, Jesus, Christine yelled. Would it kill you to relax? You scared me, I said, heaving. How long have you been standing here? I swallowed. I just got up here. She rose an eyebrow. I was doing some editing downstairs. It's 9:30, she said. Come to bed. The noise stopped after she arrived, contributing to my embarrassment for being too chicken shit to go up. I could have explained there was an animal up there, that I was apprehensive, that rabies is serious. She would have been satisfied with that, but the moment passed. Now I had to tuck myself between my legs and wander to bed. She went back to our room while I folded the ladder to close the hatch, but it fell back open. The edge of the cover was an inch bigger than the lip of the entrance as the wood grain continued to expand. Unbelievable. When it contracted back into position, I forced it shut. In the morning, Christine pulled open the curtains. Sunlight washed over my face. The sound jolted me awake. My muscles ached. I'd only slept 2 hours.
Rise and shine, she said. You're going to get your ass out of this house.
Christine, I have to finish editing. And then there's the attic. Well, I happen to be very good friends with the librarian, and I'm not getting a late fee. I have work today. Go down there, return this book, and grab me the newest Colleen Hoover one.
If you need help, ask the librarian.
I held back a pretentious statement in her author of choice. We stared at each other for a moment.
Did I snore last night? You snore every night, she said.
Why the sudden interest in my social interaction? She sat at the foot of the bed, crossing her arms.
You were saying things in your sleep.
I sat up, shielding my eyes from the sun.
Like what? Nothing important. Or what did I say?
Her eyes fell. When you're married long enough, you get used to specific looks. What your partner looks like when they lie, when they're about to laugh, when they're serious, when they're holding something back. The patterns all existed. I didn't recognize this look on her face.
You were calling for your father, she said.
I laughed.
Yeah, right.
She wouldn't look up. She grabbed the blanket where my foot was.
I think you need to leave the house, Alex. I think you need fresh air. You've been indoors all winter. I don't like the cold.
Well, that's why they call it cabin fever, she said. And you're scolding. You need sunlight. You need the wind. It's a little chilly. Get a coffee or something. Go live, she said, standing. She got to the door, then offered me that look again. The sympathetic smile. Then she left. I tried pulling the covers up, but I'd been awake long enough to feel that I had to piss, and trying to sleep against it was too frustrating. My back creaked as I stretched my arms thin. A pink tint crept over the window, bathing my room in bubblegum. I pictured what I saw the day before. The insulation, goading my brain into a sick game. I imagined the eyes, somehow having escaped their place in the attic. The face they might belong to came to me in varied stills, each more grotesque than the last. Noses set too low, the mouth slim yet too wide, pointed ears, gapped teeth that ground themselves together when it was hungry. Sweat soaked my sheets. I approached the window with my eyes closed so tight, lightning broke out, bursting with phantom whites. I grabbed a sill. Police sketches of the creatures bursting with each flash to abuse my mind's eye. Alex, open your eyes. I didn't. It's all in your head. All of it. Bundles of faces in the clothes. A sleeve poking out of the closet in your mind, that's all. Regressing. That's what they call it when you're like a boy again. Remember, you're regressing. Light stung. When my eyes adjusted, I found a pink Jeep sitting in the driveway next door. The guy behind it was sweeping the driveway. He swept. Catching a glimpse of me. He froze. I had nothing on. Welcome to the neighborhood. I had to laugh. I yanked the curtains closed, went to the bathroom, got dressed, grabbed the book and went out to the car. He'd been standing there still, scratching the back of his neck. I waved. You guys just move in. Across the lawn, he met me in the middle.
Yeah. Had a moving crew here yesterday. I hope the noise wasn't too much.
Not at all.
You guys from out of state? A little north of here. Binghamton, he said.
Ah, New York,
I said. He nodded.
The border of it, anyway.
My old man used to say that was Pennsylvania in denial.
similar.
The guy was as dry as a corpse.
Well, welcome to Mansfield. It's quiet enough here.
Mm-hmm.
His door creaked.
Honey, who are you talking to?
He jacked his thumb at me.
Our neighbor, Alex. Alex, he called.
She said something back, but I don't think either of us caught it. I extended my hand.
I can see you're busy, but welcome anyway. We'll have to get together.
I'd say he shook my hand, but it was more of a cradle. I couldn't hold it against him, given the window incident. I turned to my car. He continued sweeping. After all, he'd seen eyes above, watching him, in the middle of some menial house task. I slammed the car door, pulling the visor down, and gazed into the mirror. There was no way in hell I was going to admit that the situations had their parallels. That's how people crack. That much I knew. Next thing, I'd be counting the hairs on my face in accordance with the goddamn crumbs on the kitchen floor.
It was a freak occurrence, I said.
It's like Christine said, go live. Go do something. There was a glint in my eye, as if to say, but we both know better, right? I reversed. In front of the library, I saw a collection of folks from the town beating on homemade drums. Men, women, all ages. I had to sidestep to get through the front doors, only to find that the library encouraged it. Banners read, Spring in the New, Homemade Music Festival. But for the love of God, I found nothing festive about it. I returned the book, plucked the new Colleen Hoover off the shelf, and checked out, all while wincing at the polite havoc being wreaked by the odd, smiling faces who had nothing better to do on a chilly afternoon. I emerged. The lead, an older lady, bundled in a grey and pink North Face jacket, turned to me with a grin.
Joining?
I held up a hand, walking to my car. What was that draw? Who woke up and said, yeah, I'll go to that thing at the library today with my Tupperware and spoons. We'll see if I can't recreate life on the prairie circa 1823. All they were missing was a fucking bonfire. They shared nothing in common with one another besides than the fact that they all decided, making noise, boundless, unsignatured wailing and beating, was paramount. That and being human. What if one of them isn't human? I knew that that was just the crazy talking. The truth was, the cold air had sobered me up from the theatrics of the last few hours. It wasn't good to stay indoors long. That's how you end up like, what's his name, next door, meeting people without dropping your own name. Though, to his credit, I freaked him out. Humans, right? We desire to be part of a collective for a little while, don't we? Even if that means we have nothing better to do than sit outside, beating our own drums. Even if it means wailing. Even if it means inviting the guy who looked at you sideways to join your little circle. And I didn't, did I? So then no one could fault me for wondering what I did as I tossed the new book into the passenger seat, reversing my car. What if I'm not human? I tried distracting myself from getting home before Christine did, but her commute was a few hours east in Scranton, and she worked 10 to 7. How long was I going to avoid the one place I had domain over? We all have to wander down the dark hall, boogeyman or not. I went in, leaving Christine's book on the counter. It dawned on me then, romance novels, her only escape, her only solace from the long hours in a city far away, her way of reaching for a connection 2 hours back west. In my office, I kept a photo of us when we had first moved in. I had a rolling brush in my hand. She held a bucket. We were kissing. I pulled the photo out of the frame. I went back to the kitchen, flipped to a random page right before the middle of the book, and slipped the photo in. That was my mark. My whole life, when you boiled it down. Pictures. Slices taken from the reel of life to show others the way I understood it. Christine called those sentiments dramatic. I suppose she was right. I couldn't expect her to understand the importance of my reel when she had her own to consider. But as far as I was concerned, she was the audience. The sole purpose for why I bothered sharing my perspective. A thought flashed through my skull. Maybe I wouldn't be sent to the laughing place if I got a photo of the damned thing. I peeled through my office. I checked the camera bag, sailed through drawers. I even checked under papers, but I couldn't find my Nikon anywhere. I exhausted all options downstairs. It wasn't in the bathroom. It wasn't in the living room, not even the garage. How couldn't I know where my camera was? I hadn't brought it up in the attic with me. It had been on the nightstand. I don't know when I put it there, but perhaps I didn't at all. If Christine was concerned about me, she may have put it there to motivate me to go out, to observe the world, to take photos, maybe work on my portfolio just as things began coming back to life. I had to admit, she was kind of a genius, but that's why I married her. She had a way of lining things up so that I stumbled upon the conclusion that had been obvious the entire time, even if I miss it. I slung the camera around my neck. In the hall again, the cord dangled. In my palm, I couldn't tell if it was freezing or wet. The ladder creaked, unfolding to the divots in the carpet from when I had left it standing. The camera lens extended, playing its jingle. I aimed at the mouth of the attic, firing. Nothing but the wood beams, insulation, and dust motes rendered themselves on the screen. I pulled myself up, my fingers pushing the batteries from the flashlight. I stood in the attic, aiming at the beam. I fired again. I saw the hole and the string of insulation. I couldn't explain it, but the wood grain even looked different. It wasn't enough evidence to show off, though. I took a photo of the empty space in front of me. Nothing but the tipped boxes. I jerked the camera up and fired. Nothing. I took photos to my left and right, but only the pink cotton walls appeared on screen. My nose twitched. That smell. There it was again. Decrepit paper like the ash of a cigarette burned when the house was in construction. The smell of the fertilizer that the trees that became the wood of the house fed upon. The camera swung from my neck as I dropped it. The noise. Face to face with me in the darkness. So close I could feel the exhalation on my cheeks. My chest exploded, tremors rippling across my body. The sponge in my bones liquefied as the stench wrapped me. I turned the camera upwards at myself, between the two of us, the tip of my finger trembling upon the button. Did I want to know that bad? Did I want to look at this reel? Behind me, the ladder offered safe passage. I turned. There was a tug on my collar, then a hand on the back of my neck, another on my wrist, three more on my legs, all grabbing, itching, pulling. Cold, spindly fingers flew through my hair, scratching at my scalp. One tore my camera from my neck. The exit receded. No! No! Let me go! Let me! A palm pressed against my lips. My screaming, muffled, wouldn't sound past the ladder. Fiberglass cotton brushed against my spine, yet I was pulled deeper. I struggled, but every limb had been ensnared by pilotless arms. The fibers scraped my ears. Illuminated by the light coming from the hall below, the eyes opened up above the hatch. The beam expanded like a smile. The wood grains grew, spaced as if it had teeth. The sound of me being tugged deeper into a dark pink jungle. I could feel cuts opening up all over. I slammed my eyes shut, rough patches blotting my face. Cotton inched its way through my sleeves, up my shirt, into my nose. No air. As seconds ticked by and the pressure in my face expanded, I knew I couldn't fight it. Would they ever find me? Christine flashed through my mind. She'll think I left her. She'll think I left a book there with a photo as a goodbye. She would never know. I gasped. Bitter liquid surged down my throat. My eyes opened, a foamy surface inches from my face. I sat up in a bathtub, coughing. I gasped. When I got my bearings, I saw I was sitting in my bathroom, or a version of it that had been taken over by the insulation like moss on a log. Light peeked through the window, casting an eerie rose over the room. Thousands of tiny cuts all over, down my arms, sprawling over my legs. I could feel blood drooling from my cheeks. The soap stench was strong, stinging my eyes like bleach. I grabbed the bar floating in the tub with me between mountains of blushing bubbles and began to scrub my arms, attempting to soothe the intolerable itching. Fiberglass. Fucking fiberglass. Insulation was not deep enough to do this kind of thing. You would have to strip naked and roll in it. If I didn't have my camera, I damn sure had my skin as evidence. I scrubbed up my shoulders, then down my left arm. A bit of soap flew into my eye. I threw the bar, wiping my eyes with my palm. And that's when I saw it. My wrists. The cuts. Millimeters in length, yet repeating a pattern. I squinted. Welcome to the neighborhood. Carved into my flesh, so small. I hadn't caught it sooner, and it didn't stop. Welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to the neighborhood. All down my arms, over my shoulders, down my chest. Welcome to the neighborhood. I broke. The salt in my tears stung as they rang. A whirlpool spun at the other end of the tub, the water rushing down. I grabbed the sides of the tub, but the current ripped me down. The blood from my palms smeared down the inside. I slid with the tide until I felt the surface under me turn from slick to damp to dry, and then bristles scratching my entire body until I hit a solid surface. When I opened my eyes, all there was drywall. I sunk until it ran over my body like syrup, my face passing through. I had a bird's eye view of a living room. Blades of a fan whirred by, and underneath me a chair rocked back and forth. I had never seen this room from this angle. Dad? The rocking stopped. His head craned back. Eyes hollowed out and glowing pink, lined with strings of pus. He grinned. Joining? My world shattered. Each sob filling my head with more pressure. He opened his mouth. Insulation erupted, taking over his body and the floor within a few seconds like a time lapse of mold on fruit. It raced up the walls, lines splitting off from the ends like veins before it took over the ceiling, frosting over me. I woke up on my back, trembling. Drool had ran over my chin. I sat up in the attic. I tore down the ladder, leaned over in the hallway, and puked. No sting from the cuts as vomit spewed from my lips, painting the walls. I inspected my arms, my hands, even my legs. There were no cuts. The camera swung from my neck. I clicked through the images, seeing the ones I had taken to the left and right. Then I saw one I had taken of the beam with the insulation that had torn down to it. I went back. The shut of the attic from where I was now standing in my own puke. I went back again. My lungs shrank. It was a picture of the neighbor taken from the window of my bedroom this morning. I didn't remember taking them, but could my memory be trusted? I saw flashes when I moved to the window with my eyes closed, didn't I? In the photo, he's looking up at me with that frozen stare. There's a glint in the window from the flash. I click back. He's half hunched over. I go back again. He's sweeping. I click forward through the photos until he's standing, staring up at me, frozen. He's fucking smiling. He has to know. There's no way he doesn't. I stood, marching down the hall to my room. Christine wasn't home yet. I knew I had to ask him what's going on, whether or not this was some kind of fucked up joke, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized he'd been in on it all along. Was it a coincidence he moved in the day I saw it in my attic? Maybe he's part of it. He didn't feel solid when I shook his hand, did he? He didn't crave fellowship. He didn't even give me his name. Who does that here? If you don't like people, why would you move into a suburb where everyone's the same, where your neighbor is a stone's throw away? Because whoever or whatever he was, wasn't fucking human. I climbed over the fence, landing in the stranger's backyard. He hadn't noticed me. His porch lights were out to get a better view through the telescope. I approached from behind, heel to toe. The grass curled under my feet. His head perked up. I laid down, concealed by the lack of light.
Darling, come out. The stars look amazing tonight.
No answer.
Oh well, she could probably care less.
No hint of emotion in this sentiment, though. Nothing. Same cadence, different pitch. How human of him, right? I stood up, wrapping my arms round his neck. Before he could shout, I pressed my palm against his lips. I twisted him down. What's your name? I said. He screamed, muffled by my hand. I pinched his nose shut, then brandished a cleaver. Be very careful how you choose to answer, neighbor. I let go of his face. He inhaled. Help! I covered his mouth again, raising the cleaver over my head. I swear to God, I'll butcher you. What is your name? I let go, his face twisted, legs shaking.
I'm confused. I don't know what you want. Is it money? Do you want money? Go in my pocket. I carry 200.
I slapped him. Name!
I'm sure there's something we can do, okay?
Give me your name.
Please don't hurt my wife.
I grit my teeth. It was worse than I thought. He couldn't even abandon his act to obey a simple command. He cried,
Please, can we make this work? I just got this place. She said it was in a good area. I'm trying not to freak out, but you won't tell me what you want.
Why won't you give me your name?
Why didn't you give me your name when we first met? Oh my God, you were planning this, weren't you? That morning, you knew. I saw you.
You smiled at me.
What the fuck else do you want me to do? It was weird, but I gave you the benefit of the doubt until you came outside and made it weirder.
His chin trembled. What are you doing out here so late then?
All by yourself? I'm looking at the goddamn stars like I have on nearly every clear night I've ever had lived.
I wiped my face. I couldn't let go of him. There was too much at stake, too much to consider. Had I actually ever seen his wife? Had I ever seen the inside of his house? I mean, what man rides a pink Jeep? Further, why did it start the day he moved in? What's happening in my attic,
Who do you have up there? Who do you know? Who pulled me into the fucking walls? You're insane. I can't reason with you. You're already gone.
All by yourself with the telescope, yeah? How do I know you weren't looking into my window, that you weren't watching my wife? He choked. smiling for a moment.
I wasn't supposed to be all by myself. She was supposed to be joining.
The cleaver buried itself in his forehead, spraying my face. I pulled back, chopping again. My arm couldn't stop. The flesh on his face, striped with slashes, hung loose. It was time to check. I pressed the steel against his sternum, then sliced down to his waist. I did it a few more times until I could sift through the gash. A puffy, pink cloud of cotton. It itched as I brought it through my fingers, and I began to laugh so hard. I became lightheaded. I pulled out more. No blood. Nothing. His skin? Silicon. I had been right. He had never been real. Pink cotton tumbled from his stomach. Bits on my clothes. Bits littering the grass. And the smell from the attic again. It all made sense. The day he'd moved in, he must have slipped me something. Maybe a hallucinogen. Maybe he watched it all from the comfort of his backyard with a telescope. Maybe. A shriek shatters the porch light. A shriek. I looked over my shoulder. His wife, standing with two shattered glasses of wine at her feet. Her fractured expression, chipped down to and right through her core. Her mind knocks on these sights, expecting an answer, yet remains confounded. She howled, her cheeks blooming with pinks and reds, unable to confront what she had found. The sprinkler system turned on. I looked back at the man I was straddling. Crystal flecks of water dotted my skin where the cuts had been. Sprawled over my lap, clutched in my hands, tumbling from the stomach, was the intestines of a man named Henry. He was 38 years old. I rose my hands to eye level. It wasn't fair. Where had the stuffing gone? When had he become a real person? I puked. She continued to scream, clutching her mouth, unable to look away from the carnage. I grabbed the telescope, pulling myself up against the swirling current, boiling in my blood. I had done the unthinkable, the unbelievable. We locked eyes. She was paralyzed, her back against the sliding door. I took a step forward. She shuddered. I need a bath, I said. I let myself out through the side gate, smearing the picket fence. Christine had been getting out of the car as I walked to the driveway. She screamed when she saw me, grabbing for a pepper spray. No, it's me, I said. Alex? I nodded. Alex? Call the cops, Christine. She rummaged through her purse. What happened? I sat down in the driveway, crisscross. Alex, have you been taking your medication? I yawned, wiping my eyes. She gagged. I need a bath, sweetheart. She dialed the police. Within minutes, I heard sirens echo off the homes on their approach. Monsters, right? Lurking in shadows, pacified by the mind of an adult that could recognize patterns without misconstruing them, without a hiccup of error in the way their brain processes information. That's all that happened. Crossed wires. an electrical surge. I thought something was invading my home. Where the heart is. Contaminating my real. Contaminating my soul. Etching its welcome into the margins of my skin. My mind knocks on these thoughts, expecting an answer. I'm inhuman. I'm a bundle of clothes. I'm an ocean of made-up faces. I'm messy thoughts in a skin suit. And I've molted.
This story was written by Daniel Guido and narrated by Ben Chandler. For more stories that haunt and a behind-the-scenes look at what we do and why we do it, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/pleaseleavepod. You can follow Please Leave on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at pleaseleavepod. Our email is pleaseleavepod@gmail.com, and our website is pleaseleavepod.com. This has been a Please Leave Media production.